Is it possible that there are already aliens living among us and that our governments are fully aware of this?
Aware of this.
Aware of this. They point to a number of cultural myths that describe sky people coming to Earth in fire-breathing dragons or metallic-looking machines as proof of extraterrestrial visitation.
The inference is that the moon must be hollow.
Must be hollow. Must be hollow.
Even more common are stories of soldiers encountering strange beings on the battlefield. Is it possible that entrances to another world can be found at the Earth's poles?
This would indicate that the extraterrestrials have a program of manipulating people and their DNA to genetically alter us slightly. And perhaps this has been going on for thousands of years.
This interbreeding may be the key to understanding the demise of the other intelligent hominin species that once shared the planet with humans. Could these ancient broadcast towers really have sent electricity up into the atmosphere? Could it be, as ancient astronaut theorists suggest, that the biblical figure of Noah was, in fact, an alien being?
There's only two possibilities to that. Either God did it, which we really don't think happened, or some high-tech civilization from another planet came and showed them how to do it.
I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, covering all things horror.
With every episode, we explore the genre with sharp focus and deep production.
We want you to love scary movies as much as we do, so we don't overshare plots or give spoilers. In this episode, we're talking UFOs and aliens again. Not necessarily horror, but occasionally terror. As a kid, I was terrified of the movie E.T. and weekly episodes of Unsolved Mysteries, and that did not help my fear that I would be snatched up by aliens and then dropped off in, like, Pennsylvania somewhere. That was always my fear. Aliens or UFOs are the adult's boogeymen because, let's be honest, we can't be the only beings in the universe. And if you think we are, your ego is huge. So, logically speaking, aliens must exist. The question then is, have they visited us? I would say we have more evidence for UFOs and aliens than against them. So why the doubt? We have now credible witnesses. We have historical texts. So why is it so hard to believe? And with all these accounts, why don't we have a picture, an Instagram, a tweet, a Snapchat, something in the whole world? But why do we need that?
So if the subject of aliens feels like it's been a fresh one in terms of when we covered it, we were just there in episode 143, Alien Friends or UF Foes.
I liked that. That was good. I like a sassy pun.
In that episode, we talked about the government release of documents, the acknowledgement of departments monitoring sightings and recovery of materials from UFO sightings. We played audio from Navy fighter jets that observed UFOs in flight.
Right.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the AFA.
That was fun. It sounded like two bros freaking out over UAP.
Similar to like the double rainbow guy.
Yeah. I'm needing to expand my sense of acronyms because UFOs is kind of an outdated term these days.
It's true.
Now we've got, instead of UFOs, we've got UAPs, or Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. We also, in that episode, discussed Whitley Strieber's Batshit Crazy Communion, starring Christopher Walken, and the far better Fire in the Sky from 1993.
Fire in the Sky, so good. Communion, so freaking terrible, I can't even deal with it.
But it was, I mean, I enjoyed it because it was impossibly bad. It was absurd. So in her introduction, Mindy mentioned the relationship to aliens. And so this episode, we are looking back up to the skies, maybe a little more whimsically, to consider a few big what-ifs. So I think in episode 143, when we first broached the subject of aliens, I think we might have casually mentioned Ancient Aliens, and Mindy did mention Jackson's fandom.
Yep. So I've watched more than probably a normal person should watch of Ancient Aliens, the TV show on the History Channel.
In all fairness, Jackson drags you into a lot of that stuff.
And you wanted to have Jackson on the show, and I thought, no, because I don't want people to know that he's insane. So no, I'm not going to encourage that behavior. And he even wanted to, he's like, oh, are you, can I be on that show? And I was like, no, Darren doesn't want you on that show.
Oh, shit. If not fandom, then like,
I would say
shameful,
it's a fan. I think he's a fan.
Fandom. Yeah.
Because he literally said to me, what if I went to that alien con?
I thought about it. I'm not going to lie. It's very expensive.
So that voice you're hearing, listeners, is Jackson, Mindy's husband, who has joined us on Patreon in the past for the commentary to, it wasn't Metalocalypse. What's the...
Dick Shark? No.
No. Although he was in the background for that.
I was involved in that. Was, they bring me in for the really good stuff.
The New Zealand film.
Lord of the Rings?
So when you last heard Jackson, might have been on the commentary for Deathgasm, but as a fan of Aliens and... Ancient Aliens, as it would be, he's joining us again.
Somewhat of an expert, I guess I would sadly say.
I guess everything around the show, when you say expert, you can't hear the finger quotes.
No, I mean, I think everything with Ancient Aliens has a quote around it, though. So let's just establish that now, and then we can go forward.
Okay, so I had never seen a full episode. I've seen bits and pieces of premises. It's certainly the kind of thing that comes up in a lot of comedy bits. And earlier, I played for you the comedian Devin Field talks about how Ancient Aliens is perhaps the most racist show on television.
I recently discovered what I believe to be the most racist show on television. It's a show called Ancient Aliens. I don't know, there's some fans here, but if you don't know it, Ancient Aliens is a show on the History Channel. A name that which, with each passing day, means less and less. Nothing at all at this point. And on this show, they talk to scientists. And the scientists discuss the ruins of ancient civilizations, like pyramids and stuff. And they explain how they were probably left there by aliens. And I think this is deeply racist because the entire math of this show is just white people looking at the ruins of ancient non-white civilizations and going, you think brown people made that? No, no, no fucking way, no. I have a much simpler explanation. Aliens from outer space came down. Go on. You think the Incas mastered stonemasonry to that degree? Absolutely not. No. White aliens from outer space came.
Okay, so I watched the first episode. It's on history.com. And at the top of it is a link for AlienCon. So they are...
Well, because
they
all the people
down
on the show are at AlienCon. You get to meet the people. They
They're trying to make a buck, guys. Like, it's a product.
I started to feel a little self-conscious, and we'll talk about it in a little bit because it's coming up, but the Bob Lazar documentary that we're going to talk about, when I start recognizing alien professionals or UFOologists.
You can call them what?
Other documentaries.
I think they're pseudoscientists.
No, they're called something like ancient...
Oh, ancient alien astronaut theorists.
Ancient astronaut theorists. That's what they call them.
Oh, boy.
According to some ancient astronaut theorists, ancient alien theorists believe, as ancient astronaut theorists suggest...
I guess that doesn't sound more legitimate.
Whenever you have to qualify with theorist, I'm a gravity theorist. I'm a doctor of theorist.
Yeah, they call themselves ancient astronaut theorists.
So on that note, I did make a trip to the library for a couple of books on the subject, one of which I did pick up Chariots of the Gods by Eric von Daniken.
That is the Bible.
Yeah. I started to recognize a lot of
the Genesis,
premises.
If you will. Yeah.
I think both in terms of material, but also tonally, Ancient Aliens kind of hits the same beats. But okay, so Jackson, did you? There's like 15 seasons of Ancient Aliens.
How much have you watched? Most of it. It's sad.
I think he's seen almost, and now there's another like subset.
Well, there's Ancient Aliens Declassified, where you can watch the bullshit B-roll that they edited out because it wasn't very good. But like, you know, if you just like have another hour of your life, you don't need back.
Okay, so sorry, it's its own series, or it was just like a one-time thing?
No, I think it's like pop-up videos. Where
it's a whole series, though. There's like episode after episode.
It's the same episode. It's just got about 5 more minutes of B-stock.
Oh.
Oh. But I don't watch these when he's watching them. I really don't. After they said like Hitler was an alien, then I was like, I'm done with this shit. I can't watch it anymore.
That one was hard to stomach. Yeah.
That's
what lost me.
The History Channel just used to be World War II, now in color. But yeah, okay. So they've circled back to aliens and alien Hitler.
Yes.
I mean, he had some sort of Bell teleporter device. Thing. I don't know.
Did he?
I mean, to be fair, we all love Wolfenstein, but you know, put an orange guy with big hair doing the exact same storyline, and it's garbage.
What is that guy's name? George.
George Snuffleupagus.
George Snuffleupagus.
Was that right? I think that was racist against Greek people.
Is that a race of people?
They're not a race.
Oh.
If somewhere a Greek person's really mad at you for saying that, we are too.
So I guess that guy with the big hair.
Big hair guy. We'll call him Big Hair Guy.
It's as if his face is the big bang and his hair is exploding away from it.
Well, the thing that's crazy is that as the show goes on, at first he's more, I mean, he's always been a little zany looking, but he was more normal. And now as the show goes on, his hair is bigger. He gets oranger as well.
Fact.
And so he gets weirder and devolves into an even more disturbing weirdo.
So in the first episode, I guess that guy is like an exec producer. He's kind of who ushered the show into the, well, for the History Channel. So the first episode, they cover a lot of territory. The very first episode, they talk about an Egyptian bird, probably toy, that they've discovered that shares a design with a modern glider, so it must be ahead of its time. But there's also an equivalent one that was found in Colombia, and they love to like reproduce these things, but bigger, to test if they would have functioned as an aircraft.
Well, aliens aren't the size of a thumbnail now, are they?
Maybe.
So I think that's the very first segment.
Cute.
But that idea where they're pulling elements, speculating as to their use or their origin, and then bringing them into the present and kind of expanding and extrapolating that, like, we don't understand it. It must have been alien influence.
Okay. All right. We got to get down to it, all right? To look at the forest before the trees, because I feel like we're talking about trees right now, not forest. But the idea behind the whole thing is that in the course of Homo erectus, essentially, however many millions of years that occurs, which is obviously, what, 3,500, according to the Bible? exactly. In accordance to man as we know it, that's an awful lot, big chunk of time, right? So roughly somewhere in the ranges of 5,000 years ago, in every single continent on the globe, something happened where, and every single culture across, well, not every single,
probably
culture,
not Antarctica.
You haven't seen the new season, have you?
Okay.
But across every single continent, the story of the people is somebody came from the sky, taught us how to do stuff, and then they went back into the sky. The Egyptians, the South Americans, the Native Americans, the Indians, the Aboriginal Australians, every single one of them,
I didn't know about
have
Australia,
that exact same story. So the jump from tomfoolery into something that might be have some facts behind it is, what if all of these cultures simultaneously, roughly 5,000 years ago, were actually telling an account of something that happened, not just some sort of made up thing that I guess like part of human DNA is to have a god archetype.
Right. I guess as much as I'll go in for is the idea that, like, there have been sort of waves of human history. I think in our present state, we're meant to have evolved to this point about 200,000 years ago. Between, like, 100,000 and 200,000 years ago, I think roughly 13,000 years ago, there was, like, a cataclysmic event that wiped out most of societies and cultures.
Aliens.
And, But then, yeah, then you get into, like, ancient Egypt and the idea, it comes up in that first episode. That first episode really kind of, it's as if they thought, like, this is batshit crazy. They're not going to give us a second episode. We got to throw everything into the first.
I don't think they were going past the pilot mentally.
No. But so in Egypt, when they talk about the technology and what it would have taken to make the pyramids, they arrive at aliens must have helped and taken their tools with them. Like, that's kind of the missing element. That
to be fair, again, to combat the brash racism of it, they also Stonehenge. They also talk about that. They also talk about Norse gods. They talk about the Anglo-Saxon gods as well. They also but all of the above is essentially from just what we know of people. How were essentially hunter gatherers making megalithic structures across the globe at a very, very similar time frame when there's nothing before that. We are literally talking about people who have just figured out agriculture. So why are they not tending their fields and making megalithic structures that would require people with, sticks? And very, very
log
fun,
rolling, whatever,
like log rolling. Why would they bother wasting generations to make megalithic structures when they're just figuring out how to make bread?
Right. It comes up the idea that in Bolivia, Pumapunku, dated 200 BC, they didn't have written language, or at least there's none recovered. They didn't have written language or the wheel, but they did manage to, like, geometrically carve stone in. I guess it was probably, well, no, the pyramids are granite. I don't know if this Bolivian stone was the hardest material in the world, but they talk about, like, recovering what they presume are, like, drills from the time.
But why don't the aliens, like, leave any of the tools? Like, why do they take all their shit with them? And also, like, I'm sorry, but it's also to say that aliens are, like, super, like, great. I'm sorry, at construction sites around the city, you'll see, like, shovels and nails and stuff. People leave shit behind.
There are, well, that, and okay, so there again, you guys just haven't watched enough episodes.
There's an answer for everything.
So that's kind of one of the things is that there are no tool marks on a lot of these structures. Whereas in, so you would see, like, if there's a, there would be a circular saw motion against something that is an advent, you know, that we made. So there, a lot of these structures lack those tool markings. And that's still, you know, things that are baffling, like, some of the tombs that are made of solid granite with actual hard right angles. Mm-hmm. That would be very difficult to do with modern machinery. And it would be pretty much impossible to do it with modern machinery without leaving tool marks. Like, it would literally involve just a person with a bit of sand sitting there for an eternity.
But why do we say aliens and not magic?
Because I'm sure there are episodes about ancient magic.
Magic is simply...
But I mean, you know, like, if you're going to, like, draw crazy shit, like, why aliens?
Well, they're saying that magic was simply just ancient alien technology that was misinterpreted by a primitive people.
So I'm going to ask then, Darren, aliens.
That's not Jackson making those noises. The listener should know. That is Sydney. That is baby Sydney.
Now it is.
He has an excuse.
So I'm going to ask Darren, do you think aliens made the Egyptian pyramids?
No.
Do you think they helped?
If I'm going by the documentary Stargate, sure. I believe.
The documentary.
I'm a believer. But
that's on the History Channel.
It's on the Sci-Fi Channel.
same. No, but going back to the idea of, like, cultures that have been essentially wiped out due to, like, earthly disasters, I think there's also some argument. I started looking into, like, carbon dating. It's not that I'm not a believer of aliens, but
you don't believe aliens exist at all?
No. I do. I do believe aliens exist. I think we've probably even had footage. But in terms of Egypt...
Yeah, communion.
as it relates to Egypt, I think the pyramids are likely older than they're initially thought to have been. Carbon dating requires organic matter. There's not a lot of that. So they kind of use context elements from Egypt, but presuming that it all came from the same time is not really, it's the same kind of leap in logic as, say, aliens. But that said, like, I think they had way more technology than we give them credit for. Because, yeah, as far as, like, the monumental task of assembling pyramids with stones that are sometimes from hundreds of miles away, I think there's technology that we haven't discovered and it's either worn away. But if I am indulging the earlier thought that Minyan said as far as like when workers are done with whatever, taking a pause, then they leave tools behind and we've got no evidence of those.
Right.
I wonder, is the idea present in Ancient Aliens that these features, the pyramids, Stonehenge, Peruvian ruins, like that kind of thing, are they meant to be like landmarks for aliens? What do we presume?
Well, Jackson has an answer for
season
that.
13. Nice. there's a few things, right? But the first thing is that is the Egyptians' account. That is what they say, is that people came from the sky and showed them how to do this.
Okay, like, so Stargate.
Granted.
Well, they came through a Stargate.
When we think like aliens, we think little green men, right? But when we think Egyptians, we think an alligator head on a fish man, right? But that is their story. And, you know, that is their culture. And that is fundamentally what they believe. Or, you know, if you believe in that as a religion.
Is there a crossover between, like, Horus and Egyptian gods and aliens? Absolutely. Are they one and the same? Are they represented as the same?
And again, back to the overarching idea of the show is stop thinking in terms of aliens equals little green men in spaceships. And aliens meaning just somebody who came from the heavens. Right.
Okay.
You know, the telescope does not get invented for a much longer period of time. So all they have really, they look up, they see the sky, they see all these little dots on it. They're moving around, and they the Egyptians had a very, very good understanding of astrology and how that works. Mm-hmm. However, they didn't have a telescope, so all they know is these little lights moving around, right? And they know, and their story is that somebody came from one of those and showed them how to do this. That's their story.
Okay.
So it's basically just calling to say it wasn't an alien that did that is, I think, a disrespect to their culture and also racist.
Is there, I guess there's not like a continuate in the way that like modern faiths, well, I guess even then.
No, Abraham, not going every back. Abraham, every
I thought
Abraham,
you were going to tell me Abraham Lincoln believed aliens. That's where I thought
Lincoln,
that was going.
Alien hunter.
He fought zombies. Dummy.
Vampires, sir. Oh. Vampires.
Dummy.
Who's the dummy now? the Abrahamic religions, you know, they believe that God came from the sky, showed people what to do, and then went back up into the sky. It's the same thing.
Where's that present in Abrahamic religions?
God doesn't come down.
He comes down in a pillar of light and smoke and fire.
He usually only speaks through like an angel here or there, but he doesn't directly, or a burning bush.
There is a point in the very beginning when he does descend in a pillar of smoke and fire. But, even the angels, they come down from the heavens, and
there's a lot of angel speculation in Ancient Aliens.
Whether they were in fact aliens.
If you think aliens equals little green men and saucers, it's ridiculous. If you think that the construct of an angel, well, that makes a lot of sense. A man with some feathers on his back who can go invisible. And like that's logical. Love that. But
I don't think anybody's ever said it's logical.
I think a lot of people, if you'd poll them, believe in angels.
Most people believe in angels.
I think a surprising amount of Americans
believe in angels too. That watch them over during their life.
Oh, like a fairy godmother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most people believe in believe in praying to angels and all that stuff. And yeah.
Okay. So going back to the idea of aliens is not little green men.
Well, it is that too, and it's also reptile people. But we'll get to that later.
So like the idea that Prometheus isn't the only place I've seen the idea of like alien seeding mankind.
Yeah.
Or essentially like giving us the missing link between, you know, the chimp us and the, you know, Neanderthal and who we are now. How much does that come up in terms of
a lot?
Are we part alien? Is it like the X-Files? Are we part alien?
Yeah, because think about, they even tie it in with the ancient Greeks, right? Mm-hmm. And the Greek god mythology.
Okay.
How they're like part people.
Absolutely, demigods.
So they're saying that the aliens were gods, and then they make people, essentially.
It's basically saying, like, and again, getting away from the little green men thing, it's basically saying that the mythology that spans the entire globe is simply just, is not necessarily mythology, but maybe there is some fact to it.
However, it does get a little racist when it talks about the Aryan people.
Oh, yeah? The show's got something to say about...
Wait, what is that?
Like, pure breeds?
Yeah. It talks about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed people or aliens. You were the one who told me about
that. Okay, blonde-haired, blue-eyed people are aliens, yes, but... So are the Aztecs. So these are different. And again, we're getting a little deeper here.
I'm sorry.
Because I did my 23andMe, an alien didn't come up.
Well, how far back did you look? I'm Somalian, apparently. So. So I do feel the need to throw in a bit of a disclaimer here, in that I don't believe the ancient alien stuff.
None of it.
It's not. Because I don't really believe in anything. I'm from Missouri. It's the show me state. I believe what I can see, right? What I'm entertained by is the idea of finding fact in mythology. And that's kind of the bit that I think is a little bit more interesting than, you know, pew, 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 green, little green men. That's kind of...
Was that their lasers?
I think they had laser guns. Pew,
oh,
pew, pew.
Okay. Just being clear there, because, you know, it's an audio show. I just want to make sure.
I thought pew, 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 guns. Pew was
lasers.
Universal
lasers. Laser guns.
Yeah, so it's more of just the actual thought exercise of taking what, you know, we would all, like, in an isolation situation would consider ridiculous. And but looking at those is, what were these people who put these together actually thinking and experiencing?
I think the idea gets less and less ridiculous. I mean, I'm with you in that these are fun things to consider and think about, especially as it relates to like universal theology. But the idea gets less and less ridiculous when we do have footage of UFOs. We do have unexplained phenomenon documented. We don't, you know, claim to understand what it is, or at least it's not released by the government. But yeah, I don't know. Ultimately fun to think about.
But I don't actually think Obama is a lizard man.
I thought it was just Cheney that was meant to be the lizard. As far as lizard people reps.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Obama is the lizard man.
The lizard
man.
People run
Does
our
that
government.
On
the
ancient
Democrats
aliens?
Are lizard people.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucked up.
Republicans far too much like reptile.
Yeah,
that's throwing us off.
That would be
scent.
Too obvious.
You see,
you're
yes, exactly.
Did you ever watch the movie V? The series V.
I didn't. I was familiar with it, but it was like concurrent with Lost. It was also an ABC show.
That was
show,
the remake
but,
of V.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, no,
right. That was the.
There was an
the original.
Original
was genuinely terrifying.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But long story short, government be lizard people. Tell you what.
Okay, so that sounds like the news that it's come out recently that. Not exactly an online petition, but I think it was actually a Facebook meetup of sorts where enough people are going to show up at Area 51 and demand to see the aliens.
But what, and, I mean, okay, there's a bunch of people who are demanding entrance to the United States, but we're not letting them in, are we?
Zing.
But yeah, no.
Sheer
so
numbers when the, doesn't...
Yeah, that when that story broke, it did kind of feel like maybe a lack of priorities. Like, yeah, again, speaking to well, aliens as it would be of the like refugees right. variety, that like there's plenty of things to focus on, and the idea that people are showing up to Area 51 now and demanding answers and entry and access.
To be completely fair, if you genuinely believe that there's alien technology and weaponry in Area 51, might want to not want to go over there and, you know, see what happens when you pick up arms.
So that was kind of the point.
They might turn you inside out.
In terms of the research for this episode, I was telling people that I think I'll be satisfied to move on from this subject pretty soon.
Okay.
Because it, you kind of hit a point where like,
you.
It's not that it's, no, what scares me is that I would turn the corner and be the person at the gate that like, it's almost like religious fanaticism that like, if you believe in the Bible as fact, then you're going to rustle some feathers when you're like, you know, making your stance about abortion known, like that kind of thing.
I see.
So if you believe that the government has evidence of aliens and we are not alone in this universe, then you might show up to the gates and demand some answers. Like if, so I'm worried I'm going to go off the cliff, so to speak.
I understand.
And become one of those people. So I kind of want to limit my interest.
I was like this with Yngwie, right? I used to not like Yngwie. There was a time when I didn't.
Explain the Yngwie you're talking about.
Firstly, I shouldn't have to explain Yngwie to anybody. If you don't know who Yngwie is, Google it.
It's
we had
weird.
This room. Yngwie. We had this roommate who loved Yngwie, and I was like, no, all his songs sound the same, and I kind of like gave him shit and whatever. And then one time I heard this song called Instrumental Institution, and Yngwie plays both the guitar and the bass track on that, and it's fucking sick. And then I turned the corner, and then I became like a crazy Yngwie fan. Like, you know, I've seen him a few times now. So, like, I get you. I feel like you could turn a corner one day and then be like all
be a
about
true believer,
the
yeah.
exactly because it did happen with me and Yngwie.
He bought me a beer and his drummer made out with my mom.
That's true.
That's a true story.
Whoa.
Actually,
that's true story.
I'm no bullshit. Yeah.
So next thing you know, aliens are making out with your mom, Darren.
Next, yeah.
That's the next thing you know. That's where that's a story, a cautionary
I
tale.
I gotta cut it off right now.
That happened.
So. When the group of UFOologists or just straight up crazy people,
ancient astronaut theorists.
Well, I'm talking specifically about the people who showed up to Area 51.
Oh.
Joe Rogan did a screen cap of that news story and said, "I can't help but feel a little responsible for this," which really funny point. That said, he did recently have on a guest who's the subject of the documentary we're going to be talking about. And lent some more insight into the person behind Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers from 2018. It's on Netflix now. It's relatively new to Netflix. Written and directed by Jeremy Kenyon and Lockyer Corbell. It's essentially a character piece about Bob Lazar, who
right.
I don't think I had heard of before the documentary, but now I feel like I know too much.
Yeah, you'll see him pop up in all the aliens that you knew about Bob Lazar before
up.
The documentary.
Yeah.
So George Knapp is a producer on the documentary. He's a famous character from his Coast to Coast AM radio show. He's a Nevada journalist who's been honored with the highest award. This is actually from his website. who has been
nice.
Honored with the highest awards in broadcast journalism, the Peabody Award twice, the DuPont Award from Columbia University, the Edward R. Murrow Award, and 27 regional Emmy Awards for investigative reporting, environmental reporting, and news writing. I didn't recognize him, but he's, I think he also comes up from time to time in Ancient Aliens.
Yes.
But so he's the one who very early in the documentary points towards, you gotta interview Bob Lazar. He's the guy who knows, you know, knows the real dirt because he was there. He worked on it. And so the documentary is a character piece about the man, the myth.
But
the
I will say in general, not actually a good documentary.
You don't think so?
I don't think it was really actually well done. I don't like documentaries where I can hear the interviewer talking to the subject.
Okay.
That's a style I don't care for, just in general. And I'm going to tell you, that Mickey Rourke stuff.
Oh, dude, that was bad.
It was terrible. And right, I think so he wrote it himself, ridiculous stuff.
It was like, I mean, it's like he's channeling Hunter S. Thompson.
Yes, it was
It was some sort of like somewhere between Hunter S. Thompson and like Jim Morrison B-roll.
There you go.
Yeah, the ramblings, incoherent ramblings.
Aliens sideways something eggshell.
Except for
lines.
It's like alien sideways.
Certainly, tell you something.
I think I had only just begun the documentary when I texted you. Like, I think this is a good accompaniment to Ancient Aliens.
Right. Then when I watched it,
you have to get over the Mickey Rourke narration that happens. It's not ever present in the documentary, but it does join segments in a sort of word salad stream of consciousness poetry that Mickey Rourke speaks through a little bit of a whistle. He's got that like old man kind of snoring when he's awake kind of effect.
And it was, there was like a Disney character that was a beaver that also had this same kind of feeling that with the whistle in it. Like, listen, it was not good.
They're like, we want something distinct. We want something interesting. Mickey, would you mind taking out the false front?
So you got to get past that. But some of this is a really interesting documentary. You have to get past some of the style elements of it and some of the recreations that they've done also.
Yeah.
And I don't care for that in documentaries so much either.
Yeah, I don't like the trend. There were two things between the like manufactured footage, which I don't think they're like pretending to be showing us actual alien technology. They're like approximating elements. But when I noticed this in the Ted Bundy series, that they are now affecting audio to make it sound like a vintage television broadcast.
And I don't like that.
I think that's deceitful.
Because it's a recreation, and just accept that at face value and like let on that that's what that is.
Let Mickey Rourke voice over whatever those newscasters might have said. But yeah, so the documentary focuses around Bob Lazar, who says he was a scientist working on extraterrestrial technology and spacecraft at the government's top secret military installation known as Nevada's Area 51. I mean, by his own description, he's kind of a reluctant hero of sorts. He claims he directly worked with extraterrestrial technology, and that's kind of the bombshell that we've been visited by aliens. There are at least, by his count, 9 alien spacecrafts of different varieties. He even describes some as like, that's like the sports coupe of the alien ships.
Right.
And
the sports model.
Nice. I think that type, okay, the 2004 UFO sighting that was referred to as the Tic Tac shaped UFO. And so history.com, History Channel, has its own page for this. Incidentally, I found it when I was looking for the werewolf legends.
Oh, that excellent.
Apparently,
good.
They also have werewolf legends on History.
On the History Channel. Yes, well,
they're aliens too.
In this case, the UFO footage, it doesn't have pilots talking on it the way the 2015 piece does, but it is branded. There is a watermark that it was provided by the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, which if it's familiar, it's because that's the one that Tom DeLonge started.
Right.
The guitarist from Blink-182 is cracking the code. But I don't know where they came upon the footage, but the History Channel is using their footage of this tic-tac-shaped UFO. But when Bob Lazar saw it, he's like, yeah, that's what I understand as the sports model of the alien spaceship.
Here's the deal. There's a lot of ways to like joke and say that Bob Lazar might not be telling the truth about a lot of things, because there's certain, his credentials are completely unverified.
I think his education has been verified, although it seems like I don't know, if you're to believe the narrative, the government has tried to defame him and get whatever college institutions he was part of to like take away any acknowledgement that he was ever a student there.
Right.
Okay. Actually, this is a segment from Ancient Aliens that I found on Element 115, which I
Great
guess
episode.
Was created in Sweden. You saw this one? Of course.
Of course I did.
But it was created with fusion. It's supposed to have similar qualities to plutonium. Anyway, it's a new element. The atomic number happens to be 115. But by their description, it's kind of a shitty, artificial, radioactive, synthetic, super heavy element. I described it as a garbage, good-for-nothing element. I'm a carbon man myself. I don't know about you.
Harsh.
Do you have a favorite element? Actually, going back to your earlier point, is that something?
Badassium?
Oh,
no.
I
Badassium. Yeah, it's 110.
Okay, so
it's a super heavy metal.
When a man meditate before he submits to the weight and consequence of distrust, does he fade back into the shadows that formed him? Or does he lash
out? So in, you know, the sort of deep dives you wind up on, I've found Neil deGrasse Tyson being asked, you know, he's been asked 1,000 times and he's got variations of the answer, but do aliens exist? And he said, yeah, statistically, logically, there are probably aliens somewhere, maybe not necessarily here on Earth. But he talked about life on Earth being carbon-based, carbon being ubiquitous in the universe. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, perhaps one of the most common elements, and that we, as carbon-based life forms, being made of the most common shit in the world, to think that there wouldn't have been a equal, like, comparative life form somewhere else in the world based on the same stuff. I mean, that I thought was an interesting take, that, like, we are made of the most common thing is not ridiculous to think there are more carbon-based life forms.
Well, that's what I was saying, you know, in the opening of the episode, just your ego has to be huge to believe we're the only beings out there.
True.
And then in some way, though, you could also say your ego is huge to say that other beings come to see us. Out of all the other things that they could go see, they come to see us, and we're a bunch of fuck-ups.
So UFOs have been spotted, well, I mean, if you're to go by the show Ancient Aliens, for, you know, as long as there's been written history. But I think in terms of modern observations, there's a cluster of sightings following, like, nuclear testing.
Yes.
And so we previously talked about how the idea that the nuclear age was a new era where we had the capacity to do, you know, untold damage. And so that might put us on the radar of aliens.
That's
both
true.
Figuratively and literally.
That is true. And it does, your sightings ramp up whenever something like that happens. The thing, though, that I can't always get behind is that UFO sightings change with the times, and their style changes with kind of the style of what's in the world at the time. So now we mostly have the really fancy triangle UFOs that people see.
Triangle?
We don't see
the tri-light.
We don't see the flying saucers like you usually see.
Fighter jet one, that was a saucer.
That's true. And up, well, that was more so there's the cigar shape, there's the saucers, and there's the triangles. And it kind of goes with the times. And I don't believe, like, aliens probably go with the times. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if they've got a couple different models of spaceships, if you're to believe that there's, like, a sports coupe version of the alien craft.
I mean, they're clearly combating forces from different solar systems with different crafts.
I guess. But to me, it's like saying, like, I'm going to rent a pickup truck because I'm in Montana.
No, man. Moloch's got a sweet pickup truck. And then Yezu's got, he's got his own little sweet, like, triangle jump off. It's a thing.
Okay, so in terms of sightings, I can't remember if it came up on the documentary, but it was definitely part of the conversation on Joe Rogan's podcast, which that's how deep I've gone down this rabbit hole.
You went full Joe Rogan?
I mean, I dip into the Joe Rogan universe from time to time. But so in that sit-down interview, he talks about three different times in 1989 that he took different groups of people. Apparently working on site, he came upon a test flight schedule. And with that schedule, he either memorized it or took it with him. But three different times, he brought friends to the perimeter of Area 51. And apparently, these people have been spoken to, and they're not all, like, you know, all close friends. But they all would sit on the hood of their cars and watch these test flight of UFOs fly in these bizarre patterns.
But then why isn't everyone making a Snapchat of this?
Well, this was 1989.
Then why don't they have one of those really heavy video cameras and they're taking video?
I think there is VHS footage. And that's in the documentary. I'm not sure if that's one and the same from one of these visits.
It would be pretty cool. I would go out. If someone said to me, I'm going to show you some aliens at 8:15.
Yeah, I'd show up.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah. So I think at that point he was still working for them, and this must have been just before he, like, you know, I don't know that he's ever talked about, like, why he left, why he was asked to leave, what happened there.
Because it started going on. They figured out pretty early who he was.
Dimming the lights slightly conceals your identity.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in silhouette. Although that is my favorite moment. Pretty early in the documentary, they have some of the, like, original footage from television where he is in silhouette. But then when the segment's over, you know, it's just like the red light is off, but they're still filming. And he, like, pulls out of the Jeep, and he's just in light. And so you recognize, that's Bob down in accounting.
It's
like that that Liberty Mutual or whatever insurance commercial.
Right.
Like, I can't tell you what I know. I'm in witness protection. Oh, they took my picture.
So we talked about Element 115, and it sounds like there was some mystery as to whether or not he came away from Area 51 with said element. And I think they've claimed that he's been raided by the FBI or the government two different times. One of them
during the documentary.
Over so the element, two documents, I believe, two physical paper documents required four or five different departments and a complete ransacking of his establishment.
I mean, that kind of shit is shady. Like, sure. If he's a nobody, then why do they keep reading?
Yeah, and before we were talking about the idea of defamation, and we've talked about whether the government tried to take away his credibility by making it that he never went to college, the colleges he went to, and also there's a strange biographical piece of, like, he may or may not have been a pimp at one time, that he was initially,
his pimp,
like,
is strong.
Arrested for it's alien strong.
But maybe he was a pimp for aliens.
Whoa. If you got a really, really weird fetish, I got a guy. It's Bob. He's a little weird, but he's a nice guy.
It's 100 for touch, 20 to watch. But so that charge got knocked down to pandering, which I don't fully understand, but it's I don't know. Is that the government saying, don't talk down to us?
Maybe.
How does pimping go to pandering?
I don't know what pandering entails. But so something like that sounds like if it went to court and there was no evidence, it's like, we will let you off on this lesser charge that we've also made up. But I don't know. It's a tarnish on his record.
But it also kind of helps his credibility in that if he was a nobody, just let him be. You'd just say, that guy's crazy. The end.
Yeah.
You don't, like, raid his house, which costs, like, a lot of money, right? How much should a raid cost? In salary alone, like $100,000?
Yeah.
Personnel.
Yeah. All that material needs to be parsed and,
documented, all the stuff.
Bagged, what have you.
In the documentary, I think they associate that with any time he does talk about Element 115. So going back to the idea of, like, where he would have encountered that, it was a factor of the,
this
right?
is the propulsion method of the craft.
Because it, like, sucks out the space before it.
And right in front of the ship.
And gets sucked into it, yeah.
And that's how you're able to create the very intense movements and go faster than the speed of light.
Maybe I'm just a sucker for, like, hand-drawn schematics, but that might have been my favorite part of the documentary where I was like, maybe.
Oh, when he draws the picture? That, to me, was the part that I was like, okay.
You're like, this, I think we're back to Hitler with Ancient Aliens now.
When he drew it, I was like, okay, flying saucers don't go up and down, sir.
But the way that he definitely, like, at a bare minimum, he thought about it. That makes sense.
And his story's been consistent from the earliest descriptions
That's
of these
I'm
things.
Saying,
so he's at
though,
least memorized his own story.
We don't have any proof that this doesn't exist.
And remember, we can observe the effects of gravity, but we have no idea what it is. All we can do is observe it, and we can't make it. The only way you can make gravity is just put more mass together, and so, it's just a product of gravity. But if you can if you have a machine that makes gravity, you can pretty much do anything. You can affect time. You can have force fields. All that stuff that's in science fiction becomes reality if you have a machine that can make gravity. And what we worked on in the desert was a machine that makes gravity.
So I'm just saying, like, maybe.
Okay, so then I go on to Reddit, and there are a couple points where physicists are regarding, well, the physics that he used to describe the spaceship, and they're like, this wouldn't pass muster on a, like, physics 101 class in college. Like, some of the terminology he's using is used incorrectly, that kind of thing. So they're kind of drawing aspersions in terms of, like, what he suggests he actually knows,
right,
and the science behind that. Even by his own description, that his job was to figure out how the spacecraft worked and be able to duplicate it. By his description, they've never gotten to the second part of it. They've never been able to duplicate the technology. And I guess part of that is maybe element 115 and the idea of, like, we don't have the energy source to do what that requires.
But in that way, it's, like, very convenient that he can come up with all this pseudoscience and there's no way to prove that you could do this at all.
Yeah.
That's the whole Jim Jam, is that, you know, like, the element 115 is basically a source of energy that is constant and free. And that's kind of where the whole conspiracy theory comes up from, why the government does not want this, because anybody who's played the game Risk knows war isn't about is not about social justice. It's about resource grabs. So if we no longer have to resource grab, then what's the point of humanity fundamentally?
Yeah.
Is that consumer-based structure where we're just doing a resource grab?
Like I was saying before, in terms of, like, being all in on alien conspiracy stuff, that is the bigger picture, right? That if we no longer, as a species, if we no longer have to struggle for energy, then, like, that gets us over, you know, thousands of problems.
We can print our food, we can have robots build our cars, etc.
You go straight to printing food.
That's really, yeah, that's an interesting thought.
I didn't see that coming.
I mean, we're printing I guess we print algae? I don't know. Well, that again, Ancient Aliens, it's the Mana machine, bro. Get with it.
I don't know these words you're saying.
That's that band from Mexico, Mana.
Oh, yeah, they're really nice guys.
The one lyric in the Sesame Street song, the Mana Mana.
Mana machine.
So we'll leave off there for the Bob Lazar documentary. And on the way out, I've got a couple notes that I wanted to run by Jackson. Mindy assured me that he's got answers.
He does. He does have answers.
And this is completely unprepared, so I'm pumped.
Ancient alien sourced answers. Okay, so the little green men, is there an ancient aliens explanation for, say, like, the recovery of the Roswell crash? What does ancient aliens have to say about little green men?
Depends upon which season you're into.
Okay.
But little green men are a subsect of the combating alien races. Sasquatches are another one, and lizard people are another one.
Okay, these are like three different species
distinctly
of alien?
There's
different,
all kinds well, there, of species.
So, and to back it up a little bit, back to the biblical stuff, and when God created Earth, there were other gods that were competing, right? Moloch being one.
Okay.
It's in Genesis, yeah.
Moloch, it's true. Okay. Moloch, there was a whole other group of people.
Yeah, there's a whole other group of people. And essentially, and again, this is in the Bible, and essentially the little green men are just one of the many factions.
Okay, when you're saying factions, like, coming from different places?
Like races?
Different stars, different solar systems.
Okay, so X-Files. I mean, the X-Files had the idea that different alien species fighting it out on Earth.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. Ancient aliens, not very original. There are
the X-Files.
But the Egyptians believed that. The Sumerians believe that. That there's warring factions, and in theory, Christians believe that.
Okay. And if it's in the Old Testament, then so do Jews.
Exactly.
Okay. So lizard people are an element of those as well. However, lizard people have presumably infiltrated.
And again, this is, I do not believe these things, but the
yes, be very specific. He does not believe these things.
The greens and the grays are much more interesting interested in people as a scientific experiment and to see what happens with our genes.
What's a lizard person? Whereas a green or a gray? Or he's separate?
He's neither. He's another. Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
And whereas in the lizard people are much more interested in working in our political systems and see how our sociology experiments work.
Okay, so we're way past probing.
Oh, yeah.
No, we actually –
Well, that's why Obama is a lizard man. Duh.
I thought Dick Cheney was presumed to be the lizard person.
Well, he probably is too. I mean, hey, if there's one thing we can all agree on, it's that Bob Durst is a lizard man.
Where does Ancient Aliens fall on the idea of time travel? I had heard the theory, which is fun to entertain, that say like the little green men, the sort of diminutive humanoid person, alien type, is actually future people coming back to the present and at a time where, you know, our physical faculties are less important than, say, just our brain. So we are, like, essentially physically atrophied, everything except for our telepathic brains. Has that come up on Ancient Aliens?
Yes, but the counter theory is also that the greens and grays are robots.
Oh, that's a new one to me.
Because essentially, to your point, our bodies are not meant... Because we know that when a person goes to space for an extended period of time...
It changes your DNA.
It changes your DNA on a very fundamental
level. Right, and your bone density, yeah.
So the idea there is that in the future, our, you know, in a post-carbon-based structure, we would be uploaded into machines. And these, the grays and the greens are machines that would be piloted by what we would call a soul.
Okay.
But they're actually robots.
All right, so that's post-singularity.
Yeah, hive mind stuff.
Okay. Huh. Okay, so you mentioned Sasquatch as part of this picture, this picture of alien types. Is the History Channel not, like, cross-promoting elements now as far as, like, Sasquatch hunting type shows?
Oh, yeah.
Where, yes. Well, for a while, aliens? They were doing this Knights Templar on everything as well because they had a Knights Templar show coming out.
Okay. Can I guess where the Knights Templar, like the Holy Grail that the Knights Templar were moving around, had aliens inside?
No.
No.
Golly. That, you're like, not getting it. Element 115 in it, dude.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
You're not getting it, Darren.
Ark
right.
of the Covenant.
Well, the Knights Templar, they were carrying element 115.
That's
the Ark.
The Ancient Aliens.
That's a pretty strong theory.
Okay. And did it wind up in like Ethiopia? Where's the
Knights Templar meant to wind up? Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia.
On Oak Island.
No. Now you're joking.
Oh, well, that's another
a different
show.
Mystery. Right. That's a different.
Is that the same
show
channel still?
It's still on History Channel.
Yeah, same channel. Yeah.
Yeah. They've every day.
And then it's probably at the bottom of Lake Michigan with the gold.
No, that's Confederate gold. That's different. Which, by the way, I was strongly reprimanded for supporting that show.
Basically, someone had an intervention.
He said, I can no longer be your friend if you continue to watch The Curse of Confederate Gold. And I'm like, what? So I stopped watching it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, so I'm not friends with that person anymore.
I mean, I'm a wackadoo, but I'm not that crazy.
All right. Well, I think Curse of Confederate Gold is a good place to leave this episode off. All right. Are there any other?
I mean, Ancient Aliens, Bob Lazar. What more could you want about aliens? I think we're done with aliens for a while.
I'm happy to put it down for a little while.
I feel like, you know, when we win the lottery, that's pretty much what we'll devote our lives to.
Ghost hunting and alien chasing?
Well,
like Robbie Williams.
You're pretending like they're two different things.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we'll leave things off here. Find us on all the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are at Rance Macabre, and our email is therancemacabre@gmail.com.
Hit us up with your conspiracy theories. I love to hear them.
Mindy would love to hear them. but yeah, otherwise you can drop us a line or... give us some stars on whatever platform you've downloaded this from, whether it's Spotify, Stitcher, or iTunes, or Google Play Music. That'll do it for me. This is Darren, signing off.
This is Jackson.
This is Mindy. Thanks. The Rant.
Macabre.
Cutting.
Cultured.
And curated.
And curated. And curated.
Because then, when there's no more cars, you go out at night and eat up bars where the people meet.